Romans chapter 1. I'm going to shorten the preliminary part of the service just a little bit this morning. We're going to stand in just a moment, and we're going to read a verse of Scripture here in honor of God's Word. We'll stand. And then I'm going to get right into the message. We're a little bit later because of all that we've done this morning, but that's not a problem. We're glad to have the opportunity to hear from Mrs. Garris, and Brother Caleb is just as happy because he and Emily were singing. Amen. So he is happy this morning. So we will move ahead right into the message now. And find Romans chapter 1. I want us to stand. Let's read verse number 28. If you'll follow along, I'll read it out loud, please. And then I'll get into a message from this whole passage. So keep your Bible open, and we'll be in several verses in this passage. And I want you to stay with me. We are headed somewhere. We won't get there till near the end of the message time. So you hang with me, and I think it'll keep your attention. I hope it will. If not, pay attention on purpose, and we'll get to the subject matter at toward the end. Look at verse 28. The Bible says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," this is a horrible sentence we're about to read, "God gave them over to a reprobate mind." Now, friend, I don't know if you, I hope I can explain to you how horrible that is this morning. To do those things which are not convenient. But I want you to see that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I want to speak this morning on the subject, avoiding the road to a reprobate condition. Avoiding the road to a reprobate condition. Let's pray. My dear Father, I love you. I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. We ask now that you come in power, anoint our lips, touch us, dear God. May our thoughts be clear and plain. Lord, may we be concise as we preach. I pray that your Spirit, Lord, will take over and speak to every heart in this room. This is something, God, that should apply to every person in here. So, Lord, may you not pass over or by any heart. Help us, Lord, like the old hymn says, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." God, don't pass me by this morning. Speak to my heart and the hearts of all these who are listening. And we'll be careful to praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. And please keep your Bible open to this passage. Abandonment is a horrible thing. I'm not sure anybody in this room has, and maybe there has been, I just don't know about it. But I would say if there are any, be very few people who have been abandoned. I mean to be abandoned, to be left alone, to be forsaken and deserted. Now, it is bad when family, friends, people abandon you. It is unbelievably bad when God abandons you. Unbelievably bad. Now, verse number 28 tells us that God abandons people, at least to a certain degree. Look at what it says again. In the middle of the verse, the Bible says, "God gave them over to a reprobate mind." Now, listen very carefully. A reprobate is a person abandoned to sin. Abandoned to sin. That's what a reprobate is. A person who has been abandoned, left alone by God, deserted by God, forsaken by God to sin. That is what happened to these people in Romans chapter 1. God gave them up, gave them over to a reprobate condition. As a result of that, look at verse number 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. It goes on in verse 30, 31, and 32. Now, I don't know if you saw all those words in verse number 29. The words filled, the word all, the word full. Those are big words. Those are big words. When God uses those are big words. Filled, all, full. You see, they were given over to filthy, vile sin. Whatever restraints God had placed on their lives that kept them from some form of sin, those restraints were removed and these people plunged into darkness and wickedness. I mean, folks, if you read that list, it reads like a hall of shame for sin and evil and wickedness. Now, my subject matter this morning is not the discussion of these sins. I'm not going to go into a discussion of most of these are self-explainable. Okay? A few of them might need a little explanation, but not many. But that's not the subject of my message today. My subject is this. Rather, how does this happen? How does this happen? What is involved in a person's slide into this kind of abandonment? I mean, abandoned, deserted, forsaken by God. And the result of that is a life filled, full of all of this wickedness and all of this sin. Now, obviously, if people are abandoned by God to this kind of wickedness, there is nothing that can be done for them. And I really believe with all my heart, the people he's talking about here, there's nothing that can be done for them. They've crossed the line. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, abandoned them to sin. There's no hope for them. But what about others who have not been abandoned? What about others? What can we learn that helps us to prevent this kind of horrible situation? And I got to studying that this week for a reason. I'll get there in just a little bit. If we go backwards from these verses, we learn that there are steps these people went through to reach this abandoned state. They didn't just wake up one morning and find themselves abandoned to sin. It didn't happen overnight. You know, God's too merciful a God. God's too faithful a God. God's too compassionate a God. I mean, even with lost people, just for them to wake up one morning and they're abandoned to a life of sin. God won't do that. There are steps. There is a process that these folks went through to reach this abandoned state. Now, I want you to look at verse number 26, okay? Before God gave them over to a reprobate mind, God gave them over to something else. Look at verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up, there's those words again, unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. God gave them up to vile affections. Now look at me, listen real close. All the kids need to listen this morning, as well as the adults. God said, men with men and women with women is not natural. That means you're not born with that you're not born with those genetics. It's not by nature, and it is considered vile. Now, I didn't say that, God said it. But I don't mind repeating it. That's what God said. He said it's vile. Now, I don't care what the television says, and I don't care what the public school textbooks say. God said it's vile. Vile. And you keep that in mind. God gave these people, you see, before they were given over to a reprobate mind, before they were abandoned to sin, God gave them up to these vile affections. Men, it's awful. I made a phone call this week to a place, and I evidently dialed the wrong number. And I punched the number and dialed it, and the phone and it said, "Welcome to Chicago Megaphone," or something like that. I said, "What in the world is this?" And then it said, "If you're a man looking for a man, press 1. I wanted to throw the phone through the window. That happened to me this week. I'm not, by the way. I mean, I am a man, but I ain't looking for a man. Amen. No, sir. I wanted to throw the phone. And by the way, I felt dirty in my heart having heard that. And I was innocent. I just punched a number I thought was the right number, but it certainly wasn't. Certainly wasn't. I'm going to say it again. God said that kind of thing is vile. It's vile affection. Okay? And God gave these people over to that condition. So, it's after this point, after this. By the way, that means that the people who live that lifestyle are not without hope. They can be saved. Because they've not been abandoned to their sin. It was after this that God gave them over to a reprobate condition. Are you with me, church? So God gives these people over to vile affections, but they refused to repent. They went on in their sin, and later on, God gave them over to a condition of being reprobate. Then they can't come back. A mind that's abandoned to sin. Now, something happened, though, before God gave them up to vile affections. Here they are in a reprobate condition. Something happened before they got here. They were given over to vile affections, but before they were given over to vile affections, something else happened. Look at verse number 26. The Bible says, "For this cause God gave them over to vile affections." So what happened in these people's lives that caused God to give them up to vile affections? We'll look at verse number 24. Verse number 24, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also gave them up," there's that phrase again, "God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Notice that. They were given up to uncleanness through the lust, the strong passions and desires of their own hearts. And the result of that was they dishonored their bodies between themselves. Okay, here they are in a reprobate condition, abandoned to sin. But before that, they were given over to vile affections. Before that, the Bible says, they were given over to uncleanness. Now, do you know what uncleanness is, friend? Do you know what it is? Uncleanness is simply sexual immorality. Dishonoring their bodies among themselves. This is a step into immoral behavior. This is unrestrained sexual impurity. You see, people who jump from adultery to adultery to adultery to adultery, living a life that is akin to a barnyard animal. God says they're doing a dishonor to their bodies. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Keep your place here in Romans chapter 1. Turn quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, we're headed somewhere, but I've got to lay the foundation and groundwork of this thing first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and Paul writing the church at Thessalonica. Look at verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3. Here's what the Bible says, Paul writing this church. "For this is the will of God." You want to know, people say, "Oh, I'd like to know what the will of God is." Here's part of the will of God for my life and your life. "Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication," that's sexual immorality. Abstain from that. "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." Did you notice that? By avoiding fornication, by avoiding adultery, you are possessing your body in an honorable condition. When you embrace immorality, when you jump into adultery, when you step into fornication, you are doing a dishonor to your body. Look, folks, this body was not given to us to parade around in front of people and have people ooh and ah over and make over and do over because we're blessed physically with certain conditions. This body was given to us to serve God. This body was given to me to share with my wife in an intimate relationship and with no other. And God gave your body to share with your spouse in an intimate relationship and with no one else. And you young people who aren't married yet, God gave you your body and He expects you to preserve it and reserve it for your spouse someday. And to do anything less than that is to dishonor your body. Do a dishonor. Now, you know, we live in a world that elevates dishonoring your body. I'm telling you, Hollywood makes popular this kind of filthiness. People revere Hollywood adulteresses and Hollywood whoremongers and elevates them to godlike status and puts their star on a sidewalk and their handprint here and parades them around and all this celebrity and this movie star. And I'll tell you something, you better be careful about putting their pictures up, their posters up in your bedroom and having Hollywood movie stars as your heroes and heroines, because many of them are adulteresses and whoremongers. And I'm going to tell you something, they're not to be elevated, they're not to be worshipped, they're not to be followed. And the same thing applies to some of your sports stars too. You parade around in their jerseys and they're whoremongers. Well, amen, that's right. God says they're doing a dishonor to their body. Adultery, fornication, sexual sin is a dishonor to your body. And the Bible says that these people lived in such a condition that there came a time when God gave them over to uncleanness. I mean, brother, unrestrained immorality. And then that wasn't enough. They didn't repent. So God gave them over to vile affections. men with men and women with women. And they didn't repent. So God gave them over to a reprobate condition, abandoned to sin. Now, that is how this thing takes place. From one step to the other, okay? They didn't just wake up in this abandoned condition. Before they were given over to an abandoned condition, they were given over to vile affection. Before they were given over to vile affection, they were given over to uncleanness, unrestrained immorality. Now, that's what happens here. There are three times listed in these verses when God gave people up. God gave people up to uncleanness, unrestrained immorality. But they can still be helped. They can be reached. They can be saved. They can get right. When they don't, when they refuse to repent and get right, God goes a step further, gives them up to vile affections. But they can still repent. They can still get right. They can still get saved. But if they refuse, God gives them over to a reprobate condition. Now they are abandoned, forsaken, deserted to their sin. I will tell you something. That's horrible. Do you understand here, friend, that God in His justice punishes sin with more sin? Now, it's not God doing the sinning. And it's not God leading them into sin. God says, you don't want me? Fine. Pursue the lusts and the passions of your own wicked heart. And so they do, and they end up in worse condition. And if somebody pursues their own lust and the pursuits of their own will and their own flesh far enough and long enough, they end up in a reprobate condition, abandoned to sin. God judged them by allowing them to plunge into a life filled with sin. And by the way, folks, they can't come back. We're living in that day and age. If you are a soul winner, I know you have talked to people who are in a reprobate condition. Talking to them about God is like talking to this chair about God. Do you understand God loves you? Do you understand that you are a sinner before God? It's like talking to that chair. A chair can't do anything. Anything. Nothing. It's an inanimate object. And that's almost the condition some of these folks in the world are in today. They've been so vile, and I'm going to get to where we're going in just a minute. God gives them over to unrestrained immorality amongst men and women, and then He gives them over to vile affections, changing the natural use of that which was designed to unnatural, and then God gives them over to a reprobate mind. And you could talk to them till you're as blue in the face as that chair is blue, and you can't get... It's like the light is not on. And it's not. I'll tell you something else. It's not going on. It's not going on. No, sir. You say, well, and by the way, that's why you can't kick yourself. You know, you can't get, sometimes you talk to people like that, friend. Well, I didn't win them to the Lord. I didn't get anywhere. I didn't get my Bible out. I mean, there are some people you can't even get to first base. You can't get them to think long enough to even get your Bible out to Romans 3:10. They don't want to hear it. It's like, that's where they are. In that kind of condition, God gives them up. God says, okay, look at verse 28. Look at what it says. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds. He said, you don't want to think about me. You don't want to love me. You don't want to talk to me. You don't want to hear me. You don't want to communicate with me. Fine. Go. They didn't want God in their knowledge. And guess what? When they end up over here, they don't have God in their knowledge. And they're not getting God in their knowledge. They are in a reprobate condition. They are completely hopeless when it comes to getting right with God. God punished them by giving them over to their own sinful lust. Now, my question this morning for us, and here is the crux of the message, and it won't take me long to deliver this part of it. Here they are, abandoned to a reprobate condition. But before that, they were given over to vile affections. Before that, they were given over to sexual immorality, uncleanness. And my question is this. What were these people doing that led them to be given over to this? That led to this. That led to this. Obviously, folks, if I don't want to end up here, I don't want to start down the road that leads there. Now, I understand. I believe this group is unsaved. I believe these particular people are unsaved. And saved people, I believe saved people could, I believe saved people can get into a form of a reprobate condition. I believe that's what Paul talked about when he said he feared becoming a castaway. Just unused. But I don't think for a minute, if you're a saved, born-again person, that you can lose your salvation and be abandoned by God. There are too many verses in the Bible that teach just the opposite. But my point is this morning, folks, I don't want to be like these people in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to get close to going down the road that leads to where they are. Are you with me this morning? Even if I can't end up there because I'm saved, I don't want to get close to these conditions. I don't want God to give me up to uncleanness. I don't want God to give me up to violence. I don't want God to do that. I don't want to start down that road. Now, what awful things were these people doing that brought them to this first place? Well, it may surprise you. Verse number 21. Because of that. And there's that word. Cause and effect. Because of that. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know what these folks did? I'm going to tell you the vile things they did. I'm going to tell you the horrible things that they were participating in that led to God giving them up to uncleanness. Number one, they refused to glorify God. Number two, they refused to thank God. Number three, they refused to worship God. Now, I'm not going to develop any of these points. I'm not going to go any further with the message as far as those points. I'm not going to go into any explanation of these refusals. They refused to glorify God, they refused to thank God, and they refused to worship God. The one thing I want you to see this morning that gripped my heart this week, the one point I want to make is that something as seemingly small as unthankfulness was one of the sins that put these people on the road to a reprobate condition. Now, friend, there is no word in this Bible that's just aimless. Everything is here on purpose. And in the middle of verse number 21, talking about these people who end up in a reprobate condition, God said, neither were thankful. Unthankful. One of the sins they were guilty of was that of refusing to be thankful. And along with refusing to worship God and refusing to glorify God, these people ended up in a horrible situation. Folks, we got to understand this morning that this Thanksgiving thing for Christians is not 2 or 3 days out of a 365-day calendar year. As somebody said, it wasn't me who originated it. It's not Thanksgiving. For the child of God, it needs to be thanksgiving. It needs to be a 365-day-a-year continual thing of being thankful and grateful for all that God does for us. The attitude of gratitude. You know, somebody said, a thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but the parent of all other virtues. The parent. And I believe maybe it is. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say this when he was alive and preaching. He said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. When we cease to be thankful, when we cease to live with a spirit of thanksgiving, when we cease to live with an attitude of gratitude, we are in danger. It is not some small little thing, and it's not something that a Christian ought to reserve for one day out of 365. It ought to be a mode, a manner of life for us that every day we acknowledge His blessings and thank Him for it. Oh, yeah. You know, let me show you one place in the Bible. I know what time it is. Let me show you one place in the Bible where thankfulness kept a man from sin. If you don't believe, and the sin that we talked about this morning. Some of you know where it is. Genesis 39. Well, go there in your Bible. Genesis 39. Genesis 39. We said that God gave them over to uncleanness, sexual immorality, unrestrained sexual immorality. And then God gave them up to vile affections. And then God gave them over to a reprobate condition. But I want you to see Genesis 39. How the attitude of gratitude, the thankfulness, the thankful heart can keep you from sin. This is Joseph. He's down in Egypt. He's away from his dad. He's away from all his siblings, his brothers. He's away from his family. He's alone. He's down there in Egypt. He's working as a slave for the captain of Pharaoh's guard, a man by the name of Potiphar. Now look at verse number 7. Potiphar evidently has a beautiful wife. All right? And a lot of times in Bible days, those men did. Those men in positions of authority and esteemed positions, they were given beautiful wives. But look here. And it came to pass after these things, verse 7, that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now, wait a minute. Look up here. That's not reprobate condition. That's not vile affections, but that is uncleanness. Amen. That's dishonoring your body, right? That's what it is. Lie with me. But he refused, verse 8. And notice this. Said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He doesn't check on me. He doesn't look over my shoulder. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. I'm over everything. I'm his steward. I'm in charge of his operation. There is none greater in this house than I. Nobody else holds the position I hold. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but you. I can use his horses. I can use his chariots. I can have his food. I can use his equipment. I can use his tools. I can use his possessions. I can use his houses. I can use his fields. There's only one thing he's kept back from me, woman. That's you, because you're his wife. Because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Let me ask you a question. What kept Joseph from this? A thankful heart. He said, hey, lady, you don't understand. I'm a slave. I'm a displaced slave. That's all that I am. Sold for 20 pieces of silver. You don't understand. I'm nobody down here. And yet your master, your husband, has brought me into his care and loved me, and I'm his steward, and he's opened up the blessings of all that he has. I have free reign over everything in his possession. There's only one thing he's kept from me, and it's you. How can I sin against him and against God? A thankful heart kept Joseph from immorality. You reckon being thankful is important? You reckon being thankful is important in December as much as it is November 25th? You reckon being thankful in February might be just as important as being thankful in November? You reckon being thankful in March or May or June or July might be just as important as being thankful in November? I'm going to tell you something, friend. Being thankful, an attitude of gratitude, a spirit of praise. And here, I'm preaching to myself. I'm one of those people who by nature see the glass half full. Excuse me, half empty. I said it backwards. I'm one of those people by nature who see the glass half empty. And if I'm not careful, I get my eyes on everything that creates unthankfulness in my heart. I have to make sure that I live seeing the blessing, acknowledging it, looking at it as a great blessing and gift from God and responding to it in that fashion. God, you're so good. And He is. And living with that spirit of thanksgiving. For what are you thankful this morning? I know it's been on your mind and on your heart. I know it has been. I'm glad it has been. But I'm going to tell you something. It's just as critical in April as it is in November. A spirit of thanksgiving. We'll keep, you know, it was just the six of us. Because the married, of course, one boy's in France. And Hannah's with her in-laws. This Thanksgiving. And John came by himself. Oh, that was awkward. It was awkward for him, awkward for my wife. Some of you have been through that already. You know what I'm talking about. We're not the only ones who've been through that. Some of you have been through that. It's the first time you do everything, it's just awkward. We sat down around the table and she wasn't there. It was just awkward. But I told my kids, you know, we could moan and groan about grandma being gone, mom-in-law being gone. But I told them Thanksgiving night, I praise God. And I mean this with all my heart, that I knew her for 30 years. For 30 years I had the privilege of knowing her. How many times did I have the privilege of putting my feet under her table and eating that cooking? Oh, man. How many times Did I enjoy a conversation with her and hear that German accent? She never lost it. How I enjoyed just recently sitting with Luke and having her see the pictures of the Ukrainian trip and her telling us about their living in the Ukraine for how much I have. I broke my pastor out in Iowa, Brother Brown, talked to him this morning. He's in bad shape. He tore a muscle in his shoulder. He's in so much pain. He's got to have surgery. It's just terrible. I was talking to him this morning. Do you realize his wife's mother passed when she was 39, when Diane was 15? Brother Brown never knew his mother-in-law. And I know what some of you are thinking. Well, what a blessing. He never knew his mother-in-law. I'm going to tell you something, brother. I love my mother-in-law as much as I love my own mom. I mean that with all my heart. He never knew her, never put his feet under her table, never ate her Thanksgiving turkey, never ate her Christmas ham. We can moan about the things that our lives have, the lot that our lives have fallen into. We can moan about those things, or we can be very careful to maintain an attitude of thankfulness to Almighty God for all His blessings. I said on Wednesday night, most of the world doesn't own their own home. I'm talking to a lot of folks here. We own our own home. A lot of the world doesn't have a nice vehicle to drive. Doesn't have any roads to drive on. Huh? Going to get a Thanksgiving turkey and a big feast like most of us had with overabundance of food? Most of the world doesn't live like that. How sad if the most blessed people in all the world complain the most. That's usually how it works. Those with the most complain the most. Unless we make a conscious decision. I'm not just going to have Thanksgiving. I'm going to have Thanksgiving. And even those unpalatable things that come into my life, there's a reason and a cause to lift my eyes and my voice and maybe even my hands to heaven and praise my God to make sure I possess that attitude of gratitude that keeps me from a place I don't want to end up. Amen. You see, thankfulness to God prevents abandonment by God. I will tell you, if you want to talk about a crucial situation, abandoned by God to a life of sin. No Holy Spirit. No Holy Spirit restraint. No Holy Spirit. Psst, you ought not do that. Don't go there. None of that. Oh, I'll be all right. You're a joke. Without that restraining influence, friend, and a simple thing like the spirit of thankfulness will help keep me from that condition. Maybe there's a reason why Satan is working so hard to crowd out the Thanksgiving holiday. Put it between Halloween and Christmas, and I praise God for Christmas, and I hate Halloween. The commercialization of those two things has so caused us to ignore Thanksgiving. Maybe there's a reason for that. An attitude of gratitude. Somebody said, I'll quote it to you, a grateful thought toward heaven is in itself. Thank you, God. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate your attention. We're about normal time. Before I have the final closing prayer, we have the invitation. I want to ask two or three questions today. Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Maybe you're like me. Maybe your nature, the makeup of your nature is such that you see the glass more half empty than half full. I know some of you are not that way. That's a blessing. But maybe the Spirit of God came right down your pew this morning and said, you know what? This is a Bible truth that you need to give more attention to. Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to have a Thanksgiving day. I want to have a Thanksgiving life. The truth of the matter is, I have been so murmured, complaining, ugly in my heart recently. And I shaped up for a few hours at Thanksgiving. But I have spent the last weeks or months more upset than blessed. The Spirit of God arrested my attention this morning. I don't want to start down that road. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room? Come on, be honest. Be honest. Be honest. God bless you. Thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you for your honesty this morning. Now, I wonder this. You say, you might be sitting in the auditorium saying, Brother Angel, well, I hope I'm not one of those people giving up to sin. Can't be helped. My heart stirred this morning. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. But my heart is stirred about it. And I'm concerned about that. And if I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. But my heart is concerned about that very thing. When you close this morning, I ask you to pray for me. I don't know your name. Won't call it if I did. Who might raise a hand and say, Brother Angel, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved this morning. Would you lift a hand? Just put it right up in the air. Put it back down again. Let me ask God to help you, bless you, touch you, speak to you. Anybody like that, member or visitor? Boy or girl, man or woman, front to back, side to side. I see one hand. God bless you. Is there another? Is there another? Thank you for your honesty. God bless you. Someone else. While we wait. I look this way just for a second if you raised your hand just now. Only if you raised your hand. You that raised a hand just now, you don't know for sure that you're saved. Would you look at me just for a second? If you raised your hand, you're not sure that you're saved. In a little bit, we'll give the invitation. You can come right down to the front here and see Brother Caleb. He can direct you to a lady or a man, being as the case may be, who'll show you how to be saved. In fact, let's do that right now. Why don't we have a couple of men, a couple of ladies who are ready to talk to folks from the Bible, come and take the place in the front in case we need your services. That'll be a help. Nobody else moving but these folks. Thank you so much. And I wonder this morning, if you're not saved, if you step out during the invitation time in just a moment, come forward and let somebody show you from the Bible how to trust Christ, how to know for sure you're going to heaven someday. Brother Angel, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. I've never taken that first step of obedience. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Anyone else? Not sure that I'm saved. I've not been baptized. Anybody else like that? We have some following the Lord and believers' baptism today. If you need to be baptized, now is the time to come while we're waiting. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. If you've talked to us about church membership, you know this is the place God wants you to join, become an active member. You've talked to myself or Brother Caleb. That's a wonderful thing. If not, then come and speak with us about it. We'd love to sit down and visit with you about it and talk to you about church membership. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please bless our hearts this morning. Lord God in heaven, may we, Lord, not start down the road that leads to a reprobate condition. God, we don't want to be abandoned to a life of uselessness as your child because, dear God, of a simple matter is being unthankful. Lord, help us to glorify you and thank you and worship you. Return that which is rightfully yours to you. Lord, you're deserving of thanks. You are deserving of our gratitude because of all that you do for us. So God, please, please help us. Bless these that raised a hand this morning, many of them. Lord, may we please be tender in our hearts about this matter. Bless anyone that needs to be saved. Thank you for these that came to be baptized. Bless others to be obedient as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together, please. The ladies are playing the song of invitation. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. They're playing that beautiful old chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Your hands were raised this morning. God speak to your heart. Come. Yeah, must be thankful for us, right? I do too. I don't want to start down the road. The least step of the main condition. Would you come this morning? If you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you step out and meet Brother Caleb down here in the front? Would you?